Welcome to Harvest Valley Worship Center's Sermon of the Week. You can discover more about our church, pastors, and special guests at hvwc.com. We hope that you are blessed by today's message.
So we've been doing this series throughout the whole year where we're talking about who are we? Are we rooted in the identity of who God says that we are? If we can begin to build our identity around what God says instead of how I've been, or if I've got my heart on the wrong things, I'll become something I actually don't want to be. So we have to have our identity rooted in who God says that we are. How many of you think that God has a better definition of you than you do? Well, okay, hang on. Do you think that God has a better definition for who you are than you do? If we say, God, will you show me who I am according to the finished work of the cross? I'm going to share something with you just real quick. Just popped in my head, so I feel like I'm going to share it. See, we are buried in the baptism of death, right? With Christ, buried with Christ in a baptism into death, which is when we get water baptized, we go under the water, we identify with his death, we come up new, we're resurrected. But you know what else happened? Jesus ascended. And where are you seated? Okay, hang on. That means that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means that when Christ ascended, you ascended with him. It's time for us. Thank you, Concordance John. So it is time for us to live an ascended life instead of constantly focusing on everything that's going on here and everything that's wrong here. We have to actually come from the throne of God towards our entire life. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ. The devil just wants us focused on the dirt. You should be seeing through the clouds. All right, amen, hallelujah, that was good. All right, now I'm going to introduce the sermon for today. Hallelujah. All right. Let's make sure we got, oh yeah, we got good stuff. Okay, great. It's working. Hallelujah. All right. Today's message is called Stewardship and Defeating Mammon. We have a definition of stewardship here, and it is that we will manage heaven's resources for the Father's business. We're going to manage heaven's resources for the Father's business. I'm actually going to look at the parable of the unjust steward in Luke 16, 1 through 13 today. I'm going to read this and you can read along with me. I put it on the slides. You'll be able to read along with me in the New Living Translation because it kind of puts all the different numbers and the different weights and the scales and the stuff into kind of modern language. So I think it kind of helps a little bit. But we're going to look at the unjust steward. And we're going to look at what is it about the unjust steward that's unique, but then also we're going to hear what Jesus has to say about who we serve with our finances. The next several weeks, all the way through Mother's Day, we are discussing and talking at length around stewardship. And the majority of it, this sermon series is going to be focused on finances. See, Jesus spoke very, very much and very forcefully about money. It wasn't something that he's like, don't talk about my money. So Jesus avoided it. When the Pharisees were just giving a little bit of the spice and they're giving all their things and they're like, see how much we're pleasing God by doing this? And she's like, you forgot your heart. You're trying to obey God, but you don't have your heart right. So we're actually, during the series, we're going to talk about defeating mammon today and stewardship. We're going to talk about God's principle of the first, and we're going to look at what that means according to God. In the first and the tithe, we're going to combine those messages together. That's going to be next week. I hope everybody comes because there's lots of questions about that. We're going to talk about a spirit of mammon today, which hopefully will break you open to actually receive teaching about money. Okay, it's close to our hearts. It's a difficult issue. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I've got really big feet today. So good luck. Now, here's the other thing. We're going to talk about what are healthy habits of a steward? What are some financial habits that you should have if you're a steward? We want you to be equipped with proper tools to really thrive in your finances. We also are going to talk about what is the heart of a steward? What are the areas of our heart that have to come in alignment with the will of God and the heart of the Father? So we're going to talk about that. And then we're also going to talk about hope in finances. Okay. So as we go through this series, just understand, my goal is to teach you the word of God without manipulation. I have no desire for you to come out of this and go, well, and guilt you into writing a check. That's yuck, and we'll talk about it a little bit more, okay? But I do want you to hear what God is saying, and hopefully you'll be able to receive what the Spirit is speaking to you in what I teach today, okay? Are you guys open to receive? Yep. Amen. Awesome. Praise God. Praise God. Let's look at this. Luke 16, 1 through 13. It says, Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager. Another word for that is steward. Who had a manager handling his affairs. One day a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him and said, what's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired. The manager thought to himself, now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches and I'm too proud to beg. I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I am fired. So he invited each person who owed money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. He asked the first one, how much do you owe him? The man replied, I owe him 800 gallons of olive oil. So the manager said, well, take the bill quickly and get it to 400 gallons. Change it to 400 gallons. And how much do you owe my employer? He asked the next man. I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat, was the reply. Here, the manager said, take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. And it's true that the children, this is Jesus speaking, and it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of light. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. That's a savage statement. This is that, oh, Lord, have mercy on us, right? If you are faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? Woo, Jesus. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you so much that your scriptures are true. We thank you that we can trust the word of God today to speak into our hearts and to speak into our lives. And I pray as we dive into these concepts of stewardship and only serving one master, God, will you transform our hearts? And God, we come before you as people that like Samuel, when he heard your voice, said, speak, Lord, your servants are listening. May we not put you at bay because of fear. May we not push you away because of doubt or our past or our history, but may we receive what you have for us today. Lord, I thank you that you will speak as a voice within my voice today. I pray, God, that every heart would receive exactly what they need today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, Amen. Amen. So here we see a manager that has gotten himself in over his head and mismanaged what was not his. What was not his? He deals shrewdly, right? You dishonest rascal. I love that line. I was like, ooh, that's good, right? That's in the Bible. He does all that in order to try and save his hide. He's in trouble and he's like, oh no, if I get kicked out of here. See, the thing that you have to understand is that back then, if you were a manager or a steward, you lived in the master's house. You ate the master's food. You drove the master's donkey. You had nothing. You were just a steward. So everything that you needed would be provided for you if you were a steward of the master. And here he has been mismanaging and he's in trouble. So he knows, well, if I get kicked out of my master's house and I'm fired as a steward, I need a place to go. So how can I win friends and influence people? And I'm going to use a little dollar bill, y'all, to try and figure that out. Right? I'm going to try and figure out how is it that I'm going to make friends in this world so that they will give me a home. The turning the phrase that Jesus does here is like, hey, go ahead and do that, and then they will give you an eternal home. It's like, that's not my home. That's a home you get to pay for. Not good. Now, there's principles that we see throughout Scripture about how to use wealth, right? So this is specifically about lacking faithfulness. This conversation is not upholding what the best steward looks like. This is upholding what the bad steward looks like and the consequences of bad stewardship. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Now, we're going to talk about stewardship first. I'm going to give you 5 points on stewardship. If you want these in great detail, go to the Blessed Life series. And it's right on our YouTube channel. It's hvwc.com. Just click Blessed Life. If you're in the all-in journey, go to the all-in page. It's linked right there. I recommend everybody watch all 6 of those messages. You're going to get a condensed version of 2 messages today. Does this make sense? What's happening? But they actually tie so well together. So we're just going to touch on them. If something sparked in you, go watch the full versions, okay? All right. So, yeah. First thing we have to say is everything belongs to the Lord. If you're going to be a steward, you're a steward. You're a manager. It's not yours. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. Everything is his. It's all his. I'm just a steward. I'm just a manager. I'm not the owner, right? So it's important to understand here that in Luke 16, this word for master or employer is the word Lord, okay? It's the word Lord. It's the word kurios in the Greek. Now, what's interesting about this word is it's defined this way. It says, to whom a person or thing belongs. If it belongs to them, it says that part of this Lord is that they have the power to decide what will happen to it. They can get rid of it and they can get more of it. They're the Lord. They're the ones who are the master in this situation. That's what that Greek word master, and in New Living Translation says employer, to try and familiarize us with it. Okay? They get to possess it or they can get rid of it. Right? They're the owner. Here, Jesus is making the point that the Lord owns it all. It's all his. He owns it all. So we have to ask ourselves when we think about our finances, am I the owner or am I the steward? Is it mine or is it his? We have to ask that question. Next, faithfulness is required of stewards. Faithfulness, right? If you can't be faithful in little, how are you going to be faithful in much? If I can't entrust with you worldly wealth, how are you going to grab true riches that are from the kingdom of heaven? We know that faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. We see this in Galatians 5, right? We got the list of the fruits of the Spirit. Faithfulness is one of them. It's one of the things that God produces in us is faithfulness. So when we lack faithfulness, we come to the Heavenly Father. We say, God, help me be faithful. Help me. Because the fruit of the Spirit is the Spirit at work in you producing the fruit, not you trying harder to do it. Amen. Faithfulness, let me just say this. Faithfulness is this is not about what we believe, right? It's not about what you believe in. But what faithfulness is, it is how you live in response to what you believe. Faithfulness is how you live in response to what you believe. Second Corinthians 4:2 says this, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. It's required that we be found faithful. Proverbs 25:19, it says this, it says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. When we entrust something to someone who is unfaithful, it feels like a tooth. You need a root canal in. It means that you're walking around with a limp instead of running. Confidence in an unfaithful man does not feel good. Right? So faithfulness is required. Become faithful with what he's entrusted to you. Right? All right. Stewardship is about everything. Not just money, I'm gonna make this really clear, is about everything, right? Stewardship is about everything. He owns it all, right? We're called to steward every area of our lives. Tell somebody near you, every area. Come on, turn to somebody, say it again. Every area. Every area. Every area. We have to steward it for the Lord. Every area. We have to do that. Now, it is impossible to steward if you don't understand this. And let me say this. The areas that you have a hard time steward might be because you think you're the owner. Hey-o. So let's look at some of these areas. Finances. We see the resources that we have. We know that there's things like our thinking and the way and our minds. We talk about our physical body. We have to steward that. We have to steward our health, right? We also have to steward our relationships, right? We've also got to steward the presence of God. All of these are His, and we have to steward them. We have to learn how to manage what God has given us in a way that honors Him faithfully. Stewardship is about everything. So let's try and steward every part of our life well. Amen? Okay. Now, stewardship is relative. It's not the same for everybody. Now, what do I mean? Not everyone is given the same things or the same amount to steward. We see this in Matthew 25, 14 and 15. I just posted this up here. This is actually the parable of the talents, another one of Jesus's parables on finances and money. Talent isn't about your gift or your ability to juggle. It's not what he's talking about. It was a form of money. A talent was a form of money. Now listen to this. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. Say entrusted. Yeah. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. In proportion to their abilities, he then left on his trip. Not everyone will have the same amount of responsibility or authority as a manager of God's resources. What we do with what we have been given matters. And it is critical if you want to open the doors of God's blessing in your life, steward what you have faithfully. Stop comparing what you have to somebody else. It gets you nowhere. It does not benefit you one way. It only breeds covetousness, greed, and offense. Stop comparing. It's relative. God, you gave me this beautiful old woman, walks up to the offering box, and Jesus is watching. She's got two pennies. And it pleased the Lord that her heart was to honor God with the little that she had. And the disciples were like, what? What is that? I thought it was about being rich. Jesus says, no. Those 2 cents are more valuable than that rich guy who stands and boastfully gives. It's more valuable to God. Stop comparing your resources. Stop comparing where other people are at. It's relative. And if God's given you 2 pennies, be grateful for the 2 pennies. Because then he knows he has your heart. Whoo! In the parable of the unjust steward, Jesus makes this point, again, moving back to Luke 16, but I want to say it in the New King James Version. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. It's relative. Your little's different than my little, and I could point around the room. Nobody has the same dollar amount in their bank account. Nobody has the same assets and resources that they're at. Nobody here. Stop comparing. I hope it's relative. It's about your heart. Okay. I don't know why I'm feeling really forceful on this right now. But let me just say, some of you are stuck, angry at God, because you're not getting the same blessing somebody else has, and it's got to go away now. That is keeping you out of the blessing that God has for you. Stewardship is relative. That's Jesus talking. Just trying to be clear. I don't know why. I just got that unction. All right. God rewards good stewards. He promises to reward good stewards. In Matthew 25, in this parable of the talents, this other parable, it really, you know, because he gave some 5, gave one 2, and he gave another one based on their abilities. And in Matthew 25, it says that the good managers invested and utilized the funds, and the owner rewarded them with what? Increase. He rewarded them with increase. It says that the owner celebrated them and said, enter into the joy of your Lord, right? He celebrates and rewards good stewardship. And I've seen this over and over and over. People who were struggling financially refused to make a budget because it made them too uncomfortable. Suddenly they start stewarding the heart of God, and they start stewarding their finances, and blessing just starts pouring into their life. And they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Like, God opened this door and God opened this door, and stuff's just happening and things are moving. And I thought my tax bill was going to be this, and it comes in like this. And I don't, you know, like, God just starts to bless. When you focus on being a good steward, he rewards it. Thank you. I love it. Jesus ends that parable of the talents, and he teaches the lesson to the disciples about how they manage what God has given them. He says this, for to everyone who has, more will be given. Okay. Stop. This is Jesus. To everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. How we steward, God rewards. Okay, that's the whole point of that. God rewards good stewards. All right, so those are 5 points on stewardship. Do you want me to just do a quick recap on those? All right. Everything belongs to the Lord. Faithfulness is required of a steward. Stewardship is about everything. Stewardship is relative, and God rewards good stewards. Now, I want to talk about who are, oh, there's that verse. Ha. All right. The next question is, who are you serving? Who are you serving? The spirit of the living God, or are we serving a spirit of mammon? So let me talk about this a little bit. In Luke 16:13, which we just read in this passage, you cannot serve two masters. I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version, which says this. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon is used there. And I think it's a specific word because mammon is Aramaic for the word riches and wealth. It's an Aramaic word. But the root of this word is interesting because it actually, the root of the word is the name of a Syrian god named Mammon. And it was the god of wealth and riches. So there was a common understanding that mammon was, yeah, it was wealth, but it was about, there was a spirit behind it, a god that wants to be worshipped named Mammon. I don't think Jesus was simply referring to riches. And this is what the spirit of mammon is. It says this, we don't need God if we have riches and money. It's a spirit that contrasts itself with the spirit of the living God. It is an arrogant and prideful spirit that tries to replace God. Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. In other words, mammon is looking for servants. Mammon wants to rule in your life. Mammon wants you to look to it instead of God. And here's the problem. Many of us, if not all of us, have grown up looking to mammon and we didn't even know it. We didn't know it. Jesus makes this statement, you can't serve both. And he says, you will be loyal to one and despise the other. Let's talk about church finances and giving. Many of us have been manipulated into giving. We've been guilted, shamed, and given great pressure to sow into a ministry. We've committed to not manipulating people to give here. On the other hand, I've also seen people show up with really big checkbooks and try to get their way in a church. We've rejected that as well. Both are forms of control and manipulation, and it is witchcraft. I want to teach. This is what the Bible says. You get to go choose what to do with it. You'll always be responsible for what you steward. You, not me. I am not responsible for what you steward. I'm responsible to give you godly counsel and biblical teaching so that you can give according to what God says and give to the places and the things that God tells you to give to. So we take the teaching, we take the counsel, we look at this stuff and we say, okay, Lord, what do you want to do? God's going to fund this thing. I'm not worried about that. You must hear God and obey what he asks you to do, what he wants you to sow into. But let me just say this. You need to hear God. You need to take some time to listen to what God is saying about what you're stewarding because it's his. It's really hard to steward things when we're like trying to figure it all out on our own and we're not even having this conversation with God. Stop and listen. God, what are you saying? We have to hear God. Now, I'm going to give you a little side note and maybe make a bold statement. There is no such thing as a prosperity gospel. No such thing. Anytime you place a word, an adjective in front of the gospel, it's a false gospel. I don't care what it is. You put a word in front of it, it's probably a false gospel. And let me tell you, any time that we promote or elevate one aspect of the teaching of the Word of God over the whole of Scripture, we're probably out of alignment. This is why God had 5 ministry gifts to build and equip the church and not 1 ministry gift to build and equip the church. So that we, right? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher. He wants them to equip the body, right? Equip the saints for the work of ministry until we come to the fullness of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Like there's this, he's got a multitude of perspectives so that we don't get wonky. The prosperity gospel says this, give and you'll get. God wants to bless everyone with lots of money and a Mercedes and a Rolex. I hope that doesn't get clipped. You know, in the past 2 weeks, I found out a lot about what people think about me. And one of the claims is I'm a hardcore prosperity gospel preacher. So yeah, it's kind of fun when I hear it, you know, because I'm like, yeah, you should probably watch a sermon on what I actually say. All right. The problem with that message is that it actually works selfishness and greed into your life instead of working selfishness and greed out of your life. See, the way that we give should be removing selfishness and greed from us because it is not a trait of the Lord. He's not selfish or greedy. And he doesn't call us to that. So actually our generosity should be working out our selfishness and greed. It should be getting rid of selfishness and greed when you give instead of increasing your greed and your selfishness as you give. That's a problem. It's a major problem. Now, the problem, it's a mammon message, right? It's saying that your stuff is going to provide for you better than God will. And we'll slap the name of Jesus on it and you'll be fine. You become loyal to that spirit. You become loyal to the mammon spirit. And here's what happens when people buy into a prosperity message. When something breaks or something goes wrong in their life financially, they begin to despise God. They get mad at God. And the church needs more word of faith. We need to hear the word of the Lord and we need to believe what God says. We need to have faith that what God is saying is true and act on it. But when it's seeding greed and selfishness in us, we have to actually reject that. The reason why we get mad at God is because we're actually loyal to mammon and we start to despise God. When we're disappointed with God over our finances, it's because our faith is in mammon and not in God. And Jesus said, if you're loyal to mammon, you'll despise God. Mammon wants to take God's place. Mammon actually promises us everything that God can give us. Think about it. Mammon promises identity, security, significance, happiness, joy, peace. If you had more money, you'd have all of that. All these things only God can give, and only God can give peace, love, and joy. Mammon wants to rule you. And you cannot serve God and mammon. Let's look at it this way. I'm gonna start popping some bubbles right now. Just be prepared. It's coming. If you've ever said, God, I need a miracle or money to solve this problem, you're serving mammon. God, I just need more money to solve this problem. You're serving mammon. Money is not the issue. It's the spirit of mammon. The spirit of mammon is an antichrist spirit, and it rules through the fear of loss. It rules through the fear of loss. How do I know that it's an antichrist spirit? Revelation 13 talks about the mark of the beast, right? Says this, just follow with me. He causes all, both small and great, Revelations 13, 16 through 17. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or name of the beast or the number of his name. What's the fear attached? Why would you get the mark? I have to be able to buy, sell, and trade. I won't be provided for, so I have to take the mark. Or any of the other things that I shall not name that are there have tried to become mandatory in order for you to conduct business. That's not God. It's an antichrist spirit that is raising itself up against Jesus. And we see it in Revelation 13. The spirit of mammon says that it will keep you safe. The spirit of mammon says it will satisfy you and your needs better than God can. Oh. Another lie from the spirit of mammon is if I have more money, I can help more people. God will utilize money for his kingdom, but money isn't the answer. Listen to me very carefully. Money doesn't help people. God helps people. And I want you to notice the contrast. Jesus never told anyone, never told a leper, never told a blind man, never told a paralytic, "Oh, son of David, come heal me." Well, if you just have more money. Jesus was not interested in his entire ministry of using money to provide for a need. The only time that we see Jesus giving money or Jesus himself using money to solve a problem is when Peter stepped in it with the tax, with the Pharisees, and they're like, "Are you going to pay the temple tax?" "Oh yeah, sure," right? Because Peter's got that people-pleasing thing. Oh yeah, we're going to. And he's like, "Listen, I'm the bridegroom. I'm here. I could walk in and just own the place. I'm here. I don't need to pay tax. But because you said it, go fishing. The first fish you catch, a gold coin's going to be in his mouth, and give that to him." Jesus was serving up a creative miracle to pay Peter's mistake. Understand that God is the one who helps people. There's principles on how to use our wealth. There's principles on how to use our money. We're going to look in depth at that, on being generous, and we do need to provide for the poor. There's things that God has asked us to do and to be generous with, but if you're in need and you're praying for more money, you're serving the wrong God. Yeah, amen. Woo! Lord, we just speak peace over all of you right now in Jesus' name. Money's a tool. It's not evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil, which means that you're serving mammon. Where do we get our needs and supply met from? Our needs met and our supply met. The question is, who do you fear? Do you fear mammon or do you fear God? Who do you fear? Do you fear mammon or do you fear God? So let's look at a brief list of what mammon looks like. What mammon says, what mammon promises. It's going to meet your need. It's going to provide for you. That money is going to protect you. You're going to be afraid of losing your money. If you serve the spirit of mammon, there's a fear of loss there, right? Money's going to serve your own desire, right? It'll give me what I want, what I need. And when you're serving the spirit of mammon, there's always a little bit of anxiety. There's never quite enough, right? It's because you're serving mammon. It says that you do not need God because you have the money. It says that money will help people instead of God helping people. Now, what is God? What is it from the other side? This is what God says. God says, I will meet your need. I will provide for you. I will protect you. You should have no fear of loss because I am your provider, right? And God says that instead of doing it to meet your own need, you do it for his glory. You can live content. Oh, there is enough, actually. There is enough. You can trust the Lord. And God answers problems through creative miracles. Creative miracles. I've seen so many where people have been in deep need and we just begin to pray. We ask God to move. I mean, I've a lot of people knock on the door asking for money. And well, let's see what God's going to do first. Why are we cutting off the opportunity for God to do a creative miracle because I got money in my pocket? Lord, what do you want to do? Are we asking? Are we praying, God, will you do a creative miracle today to solve the need that we have in front of us? That's how Jesus met need. Oh my gosh, there's 5,000 people that need to be fed. We got a couple loaves and some fish. Creative miracle. Creative miracle. Creative miracle. And he did it through his disciples. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, and his disciples went out, and as they broke the bread and gave it out, it just continued to multiply. Why? Because God meets needs through creative miracles. Money is not the answer. He is the answer. God is the answer. Amen? Now, I'm going hard on all this stuff. Why? Okay? Like, I know I'm coming in hot. Y'all weren't ready. The reason is because where God is taking us will require us to have no idolatry in our heart. Where God is taking us will require us to not worry about how something's going to get paid, but to lean into the God who has all the resources. We need to be a people who are so passionate about seeing his miracle working power that when he suddenly provides for a need through a creative miracle, we know who gets all the glory. And it wasn't your checkbook getting all the glory. It was the Lord. So what do we do? This is the next question. What do we do with it? Right? Next week, we're going to talk about the two principles that God gave to redeem money. To take money from it being under a spirit of mammon to bring it into alignment with the spirit of the living God. He actually created a process to redeem money. So I hope you come next week to hear how God said we can redeem the money. Redeem our resources, redeem our finances. And he doesn't mince words about it. It's not like esoteric out there. It's not like he's plain and simple about it. So we'll be plain and simple about it. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing because not only are we going to learn about the principles for redeeming money, right? Sanctifying the world's wealth for God's purposes, but we're going to look at our hearts. We're going to look at our habits. We're going to look at so many of these different pieces of life that we have to get aligned with the Spirit of the living God. Where we're going actually requires all of us to come up financially because the needs are great and God actually wants you to be able to fulfill the will of God that is on your life. This is no longer the season of survival. It is a season of abundance. And the season of abundance is about his presence involved in everything that you do. It is not about how much money you have. It's about his presence. And listen, money, I think for many of us, money has been preventing the presence of God to rule our life. We've been serving the spirit of mammon. So if we look back at how to manage heaven's resources for the Father's business, remember, he owns it all. become faithful as stewards, understand that we are to steward every part of life. Stop the comparisons, right? God rewards good stewards. He just does because he knows he's got your heart. Fear God alone. We do not fear loss of money. We're not afraid of what the stock market's doing. We're not afraid. Like, now listen, there are real financial needs that many of us are facing. I understand that. Can we lean into God for a creative miracle? Can we ask God to open a door for a relative to call and say, hey, I'm going to give you a house? Just happened recently, right here in this body. Creative miracles that we weren't expecting, we weren't seeing. It's happened in our life. It's happened in many of your lives. Listen, Jesus has to be on the throne, and we cannot fear anyone but God alone. Amen? And I want us to come into agreement today to remove the spirit of mammon from our lives and our hearts so that we can be faithful with what God has given us and walk in his blessings.
Thank you for joining us today. Harvest Valley Worship Center is called to be a refuge for healing and a launch pad for transformation. If this message impacted you today, please let us know in a comment, or you can email us at media@hvwc.com. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you.